I want to also mention how excited I am for the parents and the kids that have decided to participate and be part of the Lads to Leaders and the decision that they made to do so. I'm also very excited for the adults and the parents who help assist with it, because without their decision to do so, we couldn't have it. And I'm excited that you made the decision of being part of the worshipers here on Sunday night, because I enjoy worshiping with you a whole lot better than I do by myself. And so I'm glad you made that decision to come out and be part of that tonight. You know, decisions are something that are around us all the time. And the greatest decision we ever made was when you and I developed our faith and grew in our faith, and we made the decision to accept Jesus Christ and the sacrifice that he made on our behalf. That was a decision. But now decisions come our way every day. It's just they're everywhere. You're going along and all of a sudden you have to make a decision. Something comes up and you have to decide. Is this a yes? Is this a no? And some of us even pause long enough to say, well, if Jesus was in my situation, what would he say? Would he say yes to this, or would he say no to this? And like it or not, the Christian life is made up of one decision after another. We're constantly deciding. There's no evading it. We can't say, well, I'm going to be one of those Christians that don't decide. No, you've already made a decision there. So we're constantly making these decisions over and over again, and yet Christianity is not a negative religion. It's really a glorious yes. That's why we're living. The Apostle Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20, he says, the yes to all of God's promises is in Christ, and through Christ we say yes to the glory of God. Jesus made it plain that everyone who accepts his mandates have passed from the negative state, that is the state that leads to eternal death, to the positive one, and that is the state that's leading to eternal life. That's what he teaches us in John chapter 5 and in verse 24. But you know, every one of us as believers reach the point to where we know that there are some things in our life, a lot of negatives, that we have to say no to and make that part of our Christian living. Every day we have to say no to some things because the Bible says we're in the world, but we're not of it. So we say no to a lot. And we know that a no answer is a pretty important piece of our arsenal as Christian men and women, isn't it? Sometimes a decision has to be made and we know right off, that's got to be a no because I'm a Christian. And sometimes a decision comes up and we say, well, no, that's not a no. I can say yes to that, because the disciples of Jesus Christ, there are so many things that we have to add to our life. That's the yeses. And there are some things we have to say no or eliminate from our life. And when we first become Christians, that's a process too, isn't it? It's not always easy to say no to some of these things that we before constantly said yes to. And now we know that we have to say no to it. Jesus said on one occasion in Luke 9:23, it says, if any man will come after me, in other words, say yes to me, let him deny himself, that is, say no to ourselves, and take up our cross daily and follow him. So there's a yes, and there's a no. Yes to Jesus. No to myself. And that saying no to self is a continual requirement for a Christian man and woman. We constantly ourselves come up with things that we have to say no to. We constantly desire some things that we have to say no to. We are constantly tempted in some areas, and no one person is like another as far as the areas of temptation, but things come up that we have to say no to right there. So that means, by the way, living the Christian life, I've got to be on the alert just like you do, because another decision can pop up any moment. And I have to decide, is this something I can say yes to, or is this something I need to say no to? And I've got to be ready at any moment, just like you do. They happen all the time. Now, you might be thinking, now, wait a minute, Tom, wait a minute. All this is not necessary. You're making too big of a deal over yes and no one, yes and a no one here, because we don't have to be concerned with the negativism like the Pharisees We don't have to do this and don't do that. That's not part of Christ's law of love. Well, wait a minute. Do you remember with me that Jesus condemned the attitude of the Pharisees? Do you remember why he condemned it? What was the issue that made Jesus condemn them? To use Jesus' own words, and that's the best way to do it, by the way, he said in Matthew 23, verse 2 and 3, it's because the Pharisees, they would say something and do not. In other words, they were telling people, this is what you have to do. They weren't doing it. The NIV puts it this way. It says, they do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. You see, as they would get up and teach other people, they would get really minute details on what they can do and what they couldn't do. And you can't do this, and you can't do this, and you can't do this, and you can't do this. And they were neglecting, Jesus said, the weightier matters. Because later in verse 23 of Matthew 23, he says they were neglecting judgment and mercy and faith. Because they were so wrapped up in all these little minute details that, oh, you can't do that. The law says you can't do that. The law says you can't do that. And Jesus says, wait a minute, you guys aren't even practicing what you preach. And you're skipping the things that are more important. Now, the Apostle Paul makes it plain that there's a negative side to being a Christian, though, because he wrote and said that the flesh lusteth after the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you cannot do the things that you would, there in Galatians chapter 5, verse 17. But watch what he says here, that the flesh is that lower nature that we have that says, I want my way. I want to do that because I want my way. I know what my way is. I know what I'm going to do because it's my way. And he's saying, wait a minute, wait a minute. The Spirit is coming along and saying, there is a higher way of life. And he says, don't you say no to Christ's way, insisting on my way. Don't pick the lower when you can have the higher. Guard yourself on doing that. He says the result of all of this going on is that there's a conflict inside every Christian man and woman that we don't talk about too much. See, we don't really walk up to one another and say, boy, was I in conflict this week. No, we don't do that. Somebody says, well, how's things going? Fine. Well, now what's the truth? Well, there was a battle going on, but I didn't really want to talk to you about it. The conflict was there. Because you were wanting your way so bad, but it wasn't Christ's way, and you were saying no to his way because you were demanding your way. And so the battle was there, and you can't do what you would naturally do because the Bible says we have to learn to say no to self. Ouch. Sounds easy. Hard to do. It's awful hard to say no to yourself. And Paul said that they that are Christ have crucified, that he said, that's saying no to, the flesh with the affections and the lust, later on in verse 24 of Galatians chapter 5. As long as our life lasts, we're going to be confronted with different kinds of temptation. You do know, by the way, that your brothers and sisters don't all have the same temptation? That what may not be tempting to you could be extremely tempting to someone else? I remember growing up and when my buddies wanted to drink because of a horrible uncle, I had no desire to drink. So the temptation was not there. Now, did some of them have the temptation? Yeah. Did I try to encourage them? Yeah. Did I succeed? Not very often. Why? Because that was their temptation. It was one that was not. If you said, Tom, I got a free six-pack for you after church, I don't want it. Have no desire for it. But I understand I've got some brothers and sisters who would struggle with that if you offered it to them. It's not my battle. I have different battles. And so we have to understand and be very patient and loving with one another because we don't know what our brothers and sisters are struggling with because we don't run around with a badge on saying these are the areas that I struggle in. We don't do that. We keep those things secret to ourselves because unless we got a real close brother or sister that we can confide in. But most of the time, we don't talk about where our temptation areas are. But everybody in this room, get ready to amen, by the way. Everybody in this room has tempting areas.
Amen.
Yes. We all do. They may not be the same, but we all have them right here. And as long as we're still breathing, we're going to be confronted with temptation that we have to learn to say no to because we belong to Christ. Our goal is to say no to those things. Now, we're not perfect, but it's true in so many different aspects of our life that we find a tremendous paradox here, and that is that when we say no to our natural instinct, we are at the very same time, by saying no, we're saying yes to God's higher level of living. No, that's a yes. And every victory we have is another yes when we say no. No, it's a yes. And every time I say yes to temptation, it's a no to Christ's higher way of living. And that's why I really want to be on guard. Jesus said, whoever finds his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Don't you like that passage in Matthew 10:39? And another passage, it says, whoever tries to keep his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life will preserve it. In Luke chapter 17 and verse 33. See, when you and I are confronted with an issue which requires us to say yes or no, we got to make a decision. What kind of criteria can we use? And I remember as a teenager, I had a wonderful Bible class teacher who said, well, there's three things I try to remember, and maybe they'll help you guys too. And he says, the first thing is this, anything that injures the body, either yours or someone else's, say no. He says, the second criteria is anything that contaminates the mind, either yours or another's, say no. And I thought, wow, those things are dynamite. That's good. He says, but wait, there's the third one. Anything that degrades or disgraces the cause of Christ, say no. Now you say, well, Tom, that's oversimplification. Yeah, it really sounds like it, but it's really the basis for practical, everyday Christian living. It really gets down to where the rubber meets the road right here. Because you say for a moment, wait a minute. Why do I have to say no to anything that injures the body, whether it's mine or somebody else's? Well, it's because the Bible teaches us our bodies are the temple of God. Paul wrote it this way. He says, know ye not that ye are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you, in 1 Corinthians 3:16-17. He says, if any man defiles the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Now, did you catch what he was saying there? He's saying God has given us these bodies. We know who the Creator is, don't we? Yeah, and God has given us these bodies to respect and to use them with reasonable care. And for you and I to go out and flaunt the natural laws is not to glorify God. It's doing just the opposite. And when we don't really know what kind of sins of the flesh that the Apostle Paul was struggling with from time to time, but he did say something really interesting. He felt like there was a really need for a person to maintain strong controls over themselves. And being a sport nut, I love how he illustrated it so those listeners would understand. Us too, by the way. Because he said to the Church of Christ in Corinth these words in chapter 9 of 1 Corinthians. He says, every athlete exercises self-control in all things. Now let's just say you don't know a whole lot about athletics, but you do know just enough to know that those who excel at it have done a tremendous job at self-control. They have made themselves do some things they didn't want to do. They have made themselves to withhold from things that they wanted to do in order to be successful, you know, in their athletic endeavor. And he said that every athlete exercises self-control in all things, and they do it to receive a perishable wreath. In other words, if they win the prize, they're going to come over and give them a wreath and say, "You're the winner." But that's not where Paul was going with this illustration. He said, you and I use self-control because we're going after a prize that's imperishable. He says, now I don't run aimlessly, and I don't box as one beating the air, but I pommel my body and I subdue it, lest after teaching someone else, that I myself should be disqualified. What a neat passage. He has learned to say no so that he wouldn't fail at his effort to preach and teach other people. He didn't want them to throwing it up at him that, well, you know, you're saying this, but you're not doing it. And he says, I'm doing it. I'm being under self-control. I'm knowing when to say no and when to say yes. And the trend of our nature is to indulge in all the things that give us pleasure to the senses, but without any real regard to what are the long-term effects of it. You and I live and work among people that you and I know as well as I do, that they contaminate their mind, they injure their bodies, and on that lower level of the evils that they get involved in, you and I know individuals who are wrapped up in the urges to indulge in gambling because it makes them feel good, or alcohol, or drugs, or lust. And for people who are a little bit more disciplined than those folks, some of them have the tendency of expressing themselves in passion or anger or in sensuality or, look out, pride. It's so easy for pride to slip in when you're doing real well, controlling yourself, and it's like, I'm not like them other folks. Man, I got that under control. I don't know why those other dummies can't do it. Watch out for pride. Because it slips right in there without you knowing it. And where do all these temptations that you and I and other people face comes from? We don't have to look very far in the Bible to find Jesus explaining it to us in Mark chapter 7, beginning at verse 21. He says, all these temptations come from within. Out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts and adulteries and all the temptations that beset us. Do you guys ever notice in that list what Jesus mentioned first? I find it fascinating that Jesus put right at the top of the list evil thoughts. See, here's without a doubt one of the fiercest struggles that everybody faces, in that you're going along pretty good and all of a sudden your mind has an evil thought and you didn't call it up. It's there. And you say, my land, where did that come from right here? See, our minds naturally are inclined to harbor the low, selfish, evil thoughts, and we have to work with some really, really intense concentration to change it, don't we? We have to really focus our minds to get away with what slipped in there. Because we don't want it to stay there. We don't want it to dwell there. That's why the Apostle Paul wrote and said, those who live following their sinful selves think only about the things that their sinful selves want. But those who live following the Spirit are thinking about things the Spirit wants them to do. If people's thinking is controlled by their sinful selves, there's death, he says in Romans chapter 8. But if their thinking is controlled by the Spirit, there's life and peace. Well, as Christians, we have the double duty, don't we, of doing right ourselves as much as possible, but also defending Christ's cause and all that belongs to that. It means we have to say yes to the things which favor Christ's cause, even if it means that we might incur some opposition. We might have somebody make fun of us, one of our friends or one of our associates, because of our stand. But as committed servants of Jesus Christ, we're not on our own, because you and I have a knowledge that they don't have, and that is that we've been bought with a price. Jesus died on the cross for us. And we stand in Him. And we can't do some of the things that we used to do before we knew that. We have to get in the conflict and battle in our decisions, because now our interest has to be focused on Jesus Christ. It means that we're going to be at odds with some of the things that other people pursue. And they're going to look at us as we're strange, we're different, and yes, we are, in a good way. Now, is it difficult to do all this? Can I tell you real quickly? Yes, it is. But so be it, because there's no other option for us. The battle's on. And pleasing Jesus Christ, that is saying yes to Jesus Christ, means putting first things first. It means that we're going to be facing the right direction. It means that our desire is to learn the lesson that Jesus wants us to have. He says, were you not raised to a life in Christ? Then aspire to the realm above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God, and let your thoughts dwell on that higher realm and not so much on this earthly one. Colossians really has a powerful lesson on that in chapter 3. So strong sometimes is the no. You remember when we were urging young people to say no to drugs? What we were asking them to do is to say yes to a life without them. Say no so you could say yes. And that is what we're doing as Christians. We say no in order to say yes. See, we as Christians, we got to say to all the things that oppose Jesus Christ, we got to say no to it. The Apostle Paul refers to this kind of thinking. He says, he calls it death. He calls it crucifixion. Do you realize how strong those words are? He's saying, that's what you're doing to self in order to say yes to Jesus Christ. I mean, wow, Paul, when he was talking about how excited he was with his own victories, he said this with us. He says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life in which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That's the center of the gospel message. That's why Jesus wants us to urge our friends and our family members and our acquaintances and people that we run into and build relationships with. That's what he's wanting us to share with them, is that once you understand your sinfulness, say no to sin and say no to the death that accompanies it, but instead say yes to righteousness and say yes to life. Sure, it means a new set of standards. Sure, it talks about a new code of ethics for a person to live their daily lives out in. But all of that is being done in Christ and of Christ and for Christ. It means submitting to His will, giving up our ways for His ways. It's perhaps one of the greatest paradoxes of all time. Saying no to evil gives us strength to say yes to Jesus Christ. One of the things that we're always excited about around here is when people have been praying for the lost, their family, their friends, their neighbors, and God says yes to that prayer because that person's faith develops to the point to where they say, you know what? I want to say yes to Jesus Christ. Tonight, if that's your desire, we would love to assist you. And the choice is yours. It's a decision. It's one in which you can say yes to tonight. Will you do so?